I guess the question that comes to mind is spirituality. What is it to you these days?
The shortest way of putting it is about awakening. Awakening from the dream world of the ego mind. And that's why a lot of spiritual teachers talk about awakening from the dream. With the ego mind, we get caught up in our thoughts, our stories about what we need, what other people should do, how I'm going to keep this, all that sort of stuff. And that keeps us locked into certain ways of thinking and doing, and it obscures what I like to call our true nature, our true being. And so I see spirituality in general is ways of stepping out of what I call the ego mind. I don't think there's such a thing as ego, and we can talk about that more later maybe, but I don't think there's such a thing as ego, but there's egoic ways of thinking. And what I saw way back then was that, you know, the common elements of all spiritual traditions was different practices that could help you step out of the egoic thinking and coming back to, let's say, what I call true nature.
And this might be a good time to ask you what that is and how we can learn to identify egoic thoughts.
Yes, good. It comes from survival. So the egoic thinking is basically, it's survival-based thinking. And, you know, on one level, it's, I shouldn't step in front of that bus or it'll kill me sort of thing. Right. But so there's physical survival, but it also gets sort of transferred into psychosocial survival. So the ego mind starts thinking, what is that person thinking of me? Are they criticizing me? Do they like me? What's the right thing to do? So we start, basically the ego mind is looking at, what do I need to do in the world or stop happening, you know, to keep things the same. But it's always looking at, what do I need to do in the world ultimately to be happy? And that's the motivation of the ego mind, looking at, what do I need to do in the world to be happy? And most of it is, you know, to do with materialistic thinking. And it doesn't recognize that it is actually creating the unhappiness. It's a strange thing. The ego mind is creating discontent. And then it looks out there into the world to say, okay, how can I get rid of the discontent? And so it looks at what to do. So how to recognize it, I find two useful things for me. One is, whenever the ego mind is operating, there's always a very slight sense of background mental tension. And it's because it's trying, it's wanting to get things done, and often the thoughts it's creating have their own sort of tension. So one way of recognizing it is this thought that I'm having, does it have any sort of tension associated with it, or is it just totally open and free? And the second way, which again I find helpful, is the ego mind is always insistent. It knows what to do, and that's its job. Its job is to be insistent. I mean, if the ego mind says, well, there's a bus coming at me, but I don't quite know whether it's going to hit me or not. I haven't worked out the trajectory. Maybe I'll be okay here. Maybe I won't. The ego mind is, get out of the way. It's like it's got a job to do. It has to be insistent. But this spills over into our, you know, regular daily lives. It's like, I've got to say this to this person. I must tell them this because it's really important, etc. And that's the insistency. You know, I've got to do this. I've got to say this or whatever it is. When you notice that insistency, I find that's a time to step back and say, ah, maybe I'm in ego mind. So that's a good way for me. That insistency is a sign that I'm caught in egoic thinking.
So a lot of people speak of balance and harmony. Do you think that there is such a thing of that state of mind of balance?
Oh, yes, definitely. There's several ways of thinking of balance. I mean, one, we're talking about the ego mind. We need to have a balance between the ego mind and being free of it. There's times where we need to be involved in it. It's really useful. I mean, I don't want to put the ego mind down. It's really useful. It's made us what we are. It's great. And we can spend far too much of our life in that mode of thinking. So, you know, a lot of people may spend, you know, all their waking time in that mode of thinking. It's basically a mode of thinking which is trying to control things. They're in that control mode of thinking. So there needs to be a balance. There needs to be times when we're in that mode of thinking where it's really useful, and times when we can step back and relax, just like, ah, here I am. Yes, I just letting go of that particular story. The ego mind always has some particular story it's saying, and it's about, so stepping back from the ego mind is really just pausing, recognizing the story that's going on and saying, okay, I don't need to follow that thought anymore. Here I am, and just relaxing back into that beingness. That's one sense in which there needs to be a balance in terms of time. And then I think there's another sense of balance, which is when we are just back in touch with ourself more, we are more balanced. We're not going to be so easily thrown off by things. If we're caught up in anxiety or anger or frustration or something like that, it's easy to get thrown by events. If we're just in touch with ourselves and more, you know, just at home in ourselves, relaxed, open, we're not going to be thrown off balance so much. So it's a way of stabilizing our inner balance.
And I wonder, how can we understand the difference between these states of being, states of mind, and also those that is actually positive, being determined, assertive, resilient, trying to make something happen in a very active way?
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's a natural egoism, which, as I say, is absolutely fine. It's essential. When we're stuck in the ego, I think it comes back to those two things I was mentioning before. Is there a sense of tension in the mind or a sense of insistency? If you're just naturally in the ego functioning mode, I think there's a greater sense of clarity. There's less urgency. You're just working things out. It's like, okay, you can sit down. What do I need to do, you know, today or something in order to achieve a certain goal? That sort of egoic thinking is fine, but that sort of egoic thinking tends to be more relaxed. It's the fixation I'm talking about, when you get absolutely fixed on something.
How did you become a writer, Peter? And what was the intention and inspiration for writing your book, Seeds of Awakening? Yeah. I love that title.
Right, yes. I never thought I would be a writer. As I said, I was a mathematician, and the only words the mathematician ever writes are QED, or therefore. That's it. That's it. True. As a mathematician, I wrote a few postcards home, but I didn't do any writing. And at school, English was one of my worst subjects. And then after I got interested in meditation, I actually went to India and studied there for a while. And I just had this impulse to write a book on meditation, not knowing what I was doing. And I wrote out a synopsis, and a friend who I met by chance again took it to an agent. The agent had a conversation with a publisher. The publisher said, great. And I found myself with a contract and writing a book. So that led me into a writing career. And I've now done like 10, 11 books, something like that. And Seeds of Awakening, it just came to me a couple of years ago, and it consists of various little pieces, some of which I had written in the past, some of which I wrote then. But the idea was just to put together a series of short essays around the subject of awakening. Because I think, you know, a lot of people these days, you know, they look at a book and think, oh my God, this is huge. And they read the first two chapters and put it down. And I wanted to give people something which they could read it and get something from that particular essay, and that they're all independent, although there's certainly a theme there that links them. So that was the idea, just to produce a series of short essays on how I saw awakening and different aspects of awakening.